My laptop is up like 8 inches on this platform in the back, so you got me widescreen,
I
and then
like that.
my mic can be right here. It's really nice.
Why do you have that weird accent right now? And
I always
my
have an
mic can
accent.
be like
My,
here on
and then if,
widescreen.
all right, today we are in the studio with Jasmine Lorimer. She was
I do not
the
like that
my
nostril sound.
In Somalia today, there was a bus bombing. In other news, we found
BBC.
a cure for cancer.
Oh, that's
Mosquitoes.
great.
So, real quick, you said you're going to go into the other room to grab some water, and now I hear you popping something.
Well, it's a bubbly water. I'm
Oh,
not.
okay.
I
It's so
don't
rare to
think I
watch you
have a
actually
problem.
drink water. I feel
You
like you
know.
don't do it. You're like,
Ooh, I don't like this on
oh,
my lips.
I only drink tea. I only, yeah. And now I'm a big water drinker,
I
and
don't
I've
even
seen you
drink
drink
tea,
water
weirdo.
once. No, you used to drink your tea thing, your whole sun tea or
Oh,
whatever the
iced
hell it was.
tea.
Iced tea, sorry.
There's a difference.
Yeah, there's a huge difference between iced tea and tea. But anyway, and then you're like, oh yeah, I'm super big on water. I've seen you drink water one time.
I don't think that's
Once.
true.
I don't remember you drinking water at all at Whitecap either.
Yeah, that's because I literally barely ever do, but I'm getting
Oh my
better.
God, that's nuts.
I've started actually feeling thirsty lately, which is new.
Yeah, it's because you're incredibly dehydrated. How
The
far
last
should I
time
be
that
back? What's quiet? Sorry, I mean, don't mean to interrupt you,
you're
but
too
I
far
want
back right now
I'm
from
too
your
far back
mic.
because it's incredibly loud for me.
I
Okay.
know Cole's just getting used to it. He's very loud, and so he needs to learn when to back up from the mic. We're getting better. We're getting better. But last episode, I had to cut out a lot of him. He was drinking a smoothie, and it was like the most disgusting thing. I couldn't keep it in the episode. It was so gross.
Well, sorry, I'm
So,
trying to eat. I'm
what?
working on the nourishment into my body. It's not my fault. I need to consume food at all hours of the day, and it just so
Do it
happened that we
before.
podcast right after the gym, and I was having a vegan smoothie.
Okay, well, it was very gross. And then you kept making disgusting mouth sounds, like you were like afterwards, like you were doing
Because I'm
ASMR
thirsty.
that no one wanted.
And you never let me get up to get water. And I'm trying to constantly drink water, and I
Oh, please
never
don't do
get
it
to
right
it.
now.
Sorry, one more time.
Cool.
Honestly, this should, instead of a song, instead of our jingle, it should just be just drinking.
We could put
I
layer both
can't.
of our water drinking sounds on top of
Oh,
each
I'd
other.
love that. Drink your bubbles while I throat
Okay,
this bottle.
fine. Get
Okay,
close to the
ready?
mic if you're gonna do it at
Oh, I'm
all.
gonna do it real
Okay.
close. Ready?
Okay, can we stop? Can we please stop?
We should just start the podcast with just it fades in to us just drinking water.
We would lose every subscriber we have. Anyways, welcome back, everyone. This is a nice, what day is it today? Thursday afternoon. We're gonna recap and discuss episode 9 of The Bachelorette Canada, which is the first few days in Cuba where the boys meet my mom and my sister and my friend Laura Lee. This episode's okay because it's fun. I get to see my family again and stuff.
Well, there's not a lot of drama, really. Like, the most dramatic thing that happens is that Laura Lee is asking questions from the perspective of kind of a friend, but also mostly a lawyer.
So Laura Lee, we became friends in Vancouver when she came to me to start doing her hair. We're both from the same hometown of Kenora, Ontario. So her and I became really close friends. She's one of my best friends, and she is such a unique type of person. We're very different in our personality. She's extremely type A. She is a criminal defense
Would you
lawyer.
call her type A? I don't know.
She has to do everything the best. So she's a criminal defense lawyer. She graduated like 2 years early from high school and was like the youngest ever in her program in the law school that she went to. She's like just an overachiever to the max, and she's very intimidating and very, she can appear to be kind of like cold. She's a very warm person once you get to know her, and she's an amazing friend. And so I thought she would be perfect to meet these guys because I knew that she would not skirt around the difficult conversations and challenging questions, which I don't
Oh,
think she did.
no, she gets right into it. What I appreciate about Laura Lee is that everyone to her is equal. She comes at them equally. Everyone's on the same tier, which is really, really nice. It's refreshing because a lot of people don't do that. Then she chips away and she asks her questions and she breaks down who that person is, depending on their responses, and creates her, you know, opinion and view on a person based on data from them. Like, very robotic. Like, she's like a life form analytical. From another planet. Like, if we were just, okay, you know how the government is releasing all these, the U.S. government is releasing all these documents saying that aliens are real.
Yeah.
They're pretty much like, yeah, they're real, 100%. We have evidence of them. They've crashed here. We still can't figure them out. But if they then release another press and they're like, they're actually living among us and they can somehow attach onto our skin. They're incredibly intelligent life forms. It could be a little cold, distant, like Spock, essentially. And then you were to go, oh my God, have you learned that Laura Lee is from like this other planet? I didn't know the whole marathon. 100%. Like, she just...
she doesn't know how to hug. She's definitely weird with, like, social... I mean, it seems like an alien learning how to do social
her things. Hugging is... It made... Again, it made me want to crawl out of my skin. When people... And, like, there's nothing against her. Like, some people are not good huggers.
Oh, she is bad.
But what's really interesting about Laura Lee is where she finds value and what she should learn. Because if, I mean, from what I know of her, and obviously you know her very well, when she wants to learn something and do it well, she drills into it, nails it, and perfects it.
Mm-hmm.
Social cues and interactions, I feel like, would be, she could just get into that, and within a month, she'd be like, hey, like, she'd be able to do, like, street high fives and handshakes, like, she would be, any hood would accept her. I feel like that's the last class she needs to take. Other than that, A+ of a human being.
So let's get into the episode. And I mean, there's not a lot to break down. Cole can take the reins and whatever questions you have, ask me and I will share whatever memories and behind the scenes insight I can recall.
Perfect. I'm really excited to get into this one. Last episode with Mikkel ends with him just kind of storming off and being a little upset about the upcoming the bang date, bone zone date.
Fantasy suite dates.
Yeah, I call them fancy suite because I honestly thought that's I watched it and Dana kept saying, yeah, fancy suite, and I was like, fancy suite?
Oh, I can promise you they weren't fancy. Actually, I'll share with you what it really was once we get there.
Have you ever had sex on a bed with roses on it? I'm not talking about these episodes. We're not obviously going to get into those details, but like, what? I feel like roses, just the friction that sex is, would just take the rose petals and just fuck up your sheets. You'd have like stained ass sheets. Like, a hotel would never do that because they'd be like, cool, like, those are $300 Egyptian cotton sheets.
So
those
true. Are donezo. That's so true. No, I haven't. But even if I had intended to during these fantasy suite dates, it wouldn't have happened because that fantasy suite room that they filmed us in is not actually where we went. They had the light set up in there. They had the camera set up in there. They had the champagne. They had the rose petals. And then they moved us to just a regular room after that. That wasn't even where we stayed.
That is hilarious. It's like if the cameras aren't there, they're like, here's a coat closet.
Honestly, it was so funny. They literally just put us in a room that was not decorated. I remember specifically, it had to have been, let me think, I think with Kevin, I believe it was Kevin, it was a really long shoot day and we got back to shoot the little scene at the fantasy suite and then went in there into our actual fantasy suite room, which was just a room. And I remember having like cold French fries for dinner. It was not romantic. At all. And then we got in a fight. So anyway, we'll get into it. But
it's almost like the producers were like, oh yeah, we're gonna give you the idea that sex is on the table tonight, and then we're gonna just create an environment that is the opposite of sexy. We're gonna be like, oh, you want some cold French fries? Do you wanna see a room that'd be kind of romantic to be in and some champagne? And then we're gonna move you to a coat closet.
I know.
And you're gonna have to keep that love alive. Like, they're almost making it real from all the dates and stuff you've gone on and all this fun stuff, and then they're like, this is what it's at, this is what real life is.
I mean, I don't think they actually cared about whether or not we had a real experience. I think they were just like, we don't have time, here's your thing, go, bye. Sorry that you only have 4 hours until you have to wake up again. That was literally what it was like. I had to wake up in 4 freaking hours to shoot something, or because there was always a call time of when you'd start your day. And And I remember it was just really quick. We got there super late, long shoot day. And then the next morning I had to leave so early. It was certainly not the romantic fantasy suite that you might envision. I don't know if that's the way it is for the US version or if this was just the circumstances that we had. Sure. But say that again, what?
It's a Canadian thing for sure.
Look at me. Who the hell knows? But anyway, so yeah, take us as you want to through the chronological episode. Mm. I know you don't have notes, but there's not a lot to go through, but let's give it a try.
I got it locked in. Let's see if I can break into this one. Anyway.
I also think that since Cole now is listening through his headphones at his own voice, he's starting to sound very quiet and very like this. You could talk like a real person.
No, because if I get one... and I know I've talked about this before, and everyone, you're going to get a little inside peek. I'm not whispering. I'm actually speaking normally. And you're just, you don't have to whisper. Anyway, what happens is, with Jasmine and I, is we'll record a podcast, and then she'll text me like, that went great, super fun, hopefully I'll have this together by tomorrow, etc., etc. And then I receive a jazz blast, as it is known. It is 10 to 15 to sometimes 25 text messages, including pictures, videos, voice memos, every type of message possible, short of a GIF. And she sends all these to me and goes, oh my God, this is a problem, this is a problem. And I'm like, I side with her every time because I'm like, you're editing, that's a pain in the ass, and I know how long that takes. But it's like, oh, you're too loud, you're too quiet, you're off to the side, I can hear you drinking water.
You know, I bring it up not to rip on you. I bring it up so that you know, because in the future you'll be like, oh, I need to not sit off to the side. Oh, I need to not drink. Oh, I need to not try and get smoothie seeds out of my teeth.
Oh, I had smoothie seeds in my teeth?
I don't know. I assume that was the sound you were making. And then the other thing is that you guys don't realize this. Cole does this every episode, every single 2 seconds, 2 to 3 seconds. He does this. And I recognize the sound wave now. I can see it. I don't even have to listen to it. I just cut it out. That's it. Anyways.
Get you a friend that knows your sound waves.
Yeah. Seriously.
Imagine interviewing Obama. I mean, how annoying that would be.
Why?
Well, because that's all he does.
Okay,
Justin Trudeau does that.
Oh my God, he's so annoying. He always, like, as handsome as he is, I hate listening to him talk. The hotness points go down.
Every hot guy, annoying to listen to every time.
But he's like, he likes to say a lot. The virus is coming to Canada. And
He doesn't sound very confident.
Watch carefully not to speak moistly at your friends and loved ones. It's so annoying. See,
and Obama would go, well, you know, if I'm going to put it one way or the other, it's that we all need to come together. And if we come together, then we can find unity. That's a terrible, like, impression of his voice, but the cadence is there. Cadence?
Yeah.
Candace.
Yes.
Candace. This is too many tangents. This episode is going to be a fucking disaster.
Jesus. Anyways, I wonder if we'll ever get to the actual episode here. Let's try.
I'm going to tear into it, please. All right. So the last episode ends with Mikkel storming off with his rough little Brad Pitt Fury haircut. And he storms off. He's really nervous about Fantasy Suites and having to share you with another person. And that's all understandable. I mean, you kind of signed up for it. But also, yeah, once you're in it and you're involved emotionally, that would suck. So that ends the last episode. And this episode starts with he has to find some sort of retribution. And he is feeling it. I mean, he's pretty bummed out with how he left it with you last time, because as we all know, now you guys are completely separated from one another between these instances, for the most part at least. So he sees you for the first time in like at least a week, maybe like 3 or 4 days, and you guys are going on a catamaran tour. And you guys set off and it's all kind of hunky-dory and you're sitting on the net like everyone does on a cat. I mean, no, I've never actually seen someone go anywhere else on a catamaran other than the net.
I think that's what it's meant for.
Yeah, I know, but
a catamaran is meant for the net, but it's also not that comfy. Like, hello, thank you for cutting off my whole butt circulation.
Yeah, I mean, Jasmine's ass circulation is important. Everyone's is. But there's other, that's the thing is when you're looking at this boat, you're like, there's other areas of this boat that are places to be. And then there's just this huge net.
Don't you feel like that's the case with all boats though? I think that whenever I'm on a ferry.
Oh, I explore the whole ferry. I'm all over.
Don't you find that there are so many areas that you're like, I don't know, for some reason the design of a ferry annoys me. It's just so industrial. And I'm like, there's people on here. Make it cozy. So not cozy.
It's anyway. Like trains. I wish trains were sexier. They were so sexy back in the day. And like, you're all right. I want to do is take Deanna and take like a sexy ass overnight train up to Canada, like go into the mountains and you live there and there's a bar on the train and a restaurant and there's different cars and you have like a cool room and it's like $350 bucks or something. Like, it's not too pricey. And then America was like, no, cars are better. Motels are better. It's like, the fuck? Every other country's figured this out. For the most part.
You're so right. Yeah.
It's so annoying. Anyway, he's trying to find some sort of retribution while you guys are looking like fishes out of water in a net on a catamaran. And you guys are obviously mic'd in. You have mics hidden somewhere on your body. You guys are both wearing, you know, I think he's wearing like trunks and a tank top or whatever, and you're wearing a bathing suit. I don't know where they mic you. They must tape it to your back.
They were so creative about the way they hid those mics.
Is it like in your, I don't, what
honestly,
the
honestly, they would somehow tape it all in my like bathing suit top. They were just perfectionists about making sure those mics were hidden. They were clipped. It was clipped to my back, the small mic pack. But the way that they would hide the wires, I don't know. They just found a way to make it.
Skin tape or something. Because they're hardly ever noticeable.
I know. It's pretty impressive.
The whole time you're having this conversation, I'm going, this is the worst location. And like what you guys are like actively skipping across the water. And you guys are like yelling at each other. And you're like, just talk to me. Tell me how you feel. What's going on? He's like, I don't know. I just can't communicate with you. It's hard to tell you. It's like, what the fuck? You couldn't go to like the dates should have been switched because you're chill with Kevin. You guys could have had an amazing day on a catamaran and just be all lovey-dovey.
That's true.
You know, Mikkel needs a quiet restaurant so you guys can actually have a conversation.
Yeah, that's true.
They fucked that one up for sure. But you're asking him very basic questions. And it's so interesting that he can't answer you or doesn't want to tell you the answer. And it's like, you've had a week to think about this and you don't know the answer.
I think he probably knew the answer. I think he was just very, I don't know, uncomfortable talking about it or opening up or something. But I used to have to drag information out of Mikkel. It was hard sometimes to get him to talk.
Which I think eventually will be his downfall, because at least Kevin opens up. And again, it's another kind of, you have a fight and he kind of explains it, but he basically just is like, yeah, I'm just nervous about fantasy suites. And you're like, okay. Like, again, I don't know if they're editing this out, but it's another instance. You had a similar fight with Kevin in which you guys have this huge argument, go away, and then you're just fine without actually addressing the root of the issue, which is not why he stormed off, that he stormed off and didn't talk to you, and you're supposed to be potentially getting engaged to this person.
Yeah. There was nothing I could say to comfort him, right? Like, that's maybe the hard thing. Like, what is he supposed to say to me? I'm uncomfortable, and I'm supposed to say sorry that you're uncomfortable. He also is one of those people who doesn't want to, like, burden you with his own stuff. So he probably just didn't want to, like, what good would it do to bring it up, you know? I don't know. I think in the end, I understood that he was uncomfortable, and that was at least getting it out. Having that conversation probably made it feel a little better, just to know that I understood how he felt. There's just like nothing I could say in those moments to like comfort anyone. And that was like, I remember the whole time being in Cuba, just feeling so shitty because I hated the responsibility that was in my hands or that power that was in my hands, that I could hurt someone or was going to hurt someone. And I really didn't feel very sure about my decision ever. We'll talk about it in the next episode. All of it was really challenging. Anyway, we're on the catamaran. Things are good. Don't we end up at a beach? I feel like this was the time that we sat there with a lobster in front of us and didn't get to eat it. And I was pretty sad.
Again, I mean, they are just fucking testing you guys. So you guys are having this dinner that's just teasing you.
Yeah.
There's a band playing. You've moved on from your argument. We're not even going to get into that anymore. And he's just focusing on the moment, and he's going back to being Mikkel, and he's like, I just can't believe how lucky I am. I'm here. It's just fantastic. You guys don't eat the lobster, and then I believe you wade out into the water, and he picks you up, and you guys just kind of like make out, kiss, and it fades to black.
Yeah.
That's definitely what happens.
And then we get home super late and have like no time to really hang out in the fantasy suite, which, yeah, that's
Yeah, so you only get like 4 hours. Because Deanna was like, yeah, they get all night to talk. And I'm like, I don't think so.
I mean, yeah, I guess it depends. For us, like, we had to shoot all that stuff till sunset. We were out on a catamaran. We still have to come all the way back. I don't know if we had to record some IITM stuff, which is in-the-moment interviews, those interviews where you see just, like, someone being interviewed in a room. I don't remember. I think that might have had to happen the next day. But I felt like with both of them, I had no time. So wasn't super beneficial for me. Enough time for Kevin and I to fight in ours, but...
Yeah, just enough time. 4 hours.
I can't remember exactly how much time I had with either of them. I do remember only having a few hours to sleep, though.
It is interesting that you give them a card. That and is... You're like, do you want to maybe fuck?
Oh, my it's God.
It's odd. No, it's just, it's like, it would make, everything is so weirdly formal about the show that I don't, it doesn't really make sense to me.
I understand.
It's just so, yeah. It's like Uncanny Valley where you're weird. Watching it and you're like, that's not normal. No one gives someone a letter and goes, do you want to stay the night? Just say it. It's like yeah. so
well,
weird.
Well, it's meant to be like a date card where it's like it's from, although I guess the date cards are from me. But okay, on the American version.
Yeah, but
you
they're
would,
not.
Okay, so I know.
It's also
I know,
crazy.
That's true. So normally on the US version, the date card would be from Chris Harrison, who obviously doesn't exist in Bachelor World anymore. But that's what it would usually
I've heard
be.
David Spade.
He's one of the hosts for the upcoming Bachelor in Paradise.
Interesting.
It's very weird. It's all going to be so interesting. But anyway, it would normally come from like the host of the show. Like, here's your invitation to spend the night together. Do you want to accept it? Here's your key. So it's weird. It's just something that's always happened. It's a tradition. It's a tradition. But I understand that it's super odd. It's so weird.
Do they always give you a key? I haven't been to a hotel in 20 years that didn't have a swipe card.
Yeah, that's so true. I think they must have given us a fake. They would have obviously given us
a fake key,
a prop key for sure.
It's like on a little red string. I literally looking at Deanna. We had to pause like 4 times, and I just told her, I was like, this is fucking weird. This is weird. And everyone is just normalized to it. That if it happened to them, they'd be like, oh, this is so romantic. And I'm like, nope, that is a serial killer. Don't accept that key on a red string. That's very weird.
It is weird. You're right. And it has become normal for everyone, and it is strange. I don't know. I remember even before I went and did the show, I hadn't watched the show. I was not an avid viewer. I wasn't a big, I'll say I wasn't a fan. It's not that I didn't like the show. I just wasn't into it. I didn't watch it regularly. I didn't have TV for years. So before I went and did the show, I think I told you this, but I kind of binge watched a lot of the episodes. And that's when I was reminded about the one-on-one dates and the fantasy suites and all these different things. I was completely unfamiliar with the format before I went and binge watched and did my research before I went. But it's kind of been the same ever since the beginning.
The thing is as soon as someone in my life starts talking, well, at least in the past, about Bachelor or Bachelorette, my ears just go, and they just white noise, and I don't listen to any of it. I like old reality TV that was intentionally trashy.
Oh, God.
Flavor of Love, Jersey Shore.
Stuff. Do you know what I was thinking about the other day that That's was it. So brutal that I can't believe that this was made in our lifetime? The Swan.
What was that? The Swan.
Holy shit. Do you want to know what it was?
Oh,
also,
wait, hold up.
Extreme
did they
Makeover.
Make it,
not the
did
home
they
edition.
Make it like a... we can keep talking at the same time. I'm so sorry. Did they like take an ugly person and make them beautiful or
yes.
something?
Oh, it's Jesus awful. Christ. It is awful. It's like, okay, listen, this is totally sidetracked. This is like the shit that I cut out of our podcast, but I'm going to leave it.
Of course. Let's talk about it.
So The Swan was about this conventionally unattractive, I'm saying in air quotes, woman. Sometimes a man, I think, but I think usually it was a woman. And they would do every possible type of plastic surgery on them, give them porcelain veneers, give them a nose job, give them a facelift, give them a tummy tuck, give them a boob job, give them a butt lift, give them a everything that you could possibly imagine, and then obviously do their hair and makeup and all that stuff. And then they would present them to their husbands, who would then be so thrilled at their new look, and they did not even resemble their previous look. They did not look like themselves. It is so troubling. Like, it makes me, you know, I'm not super surprised that I feel like I have freaking body issues, and so do most women my age. It's just like, I just feel like we grew up in such a fucked up time where that was like a show that we would watch. I would watch that when I was like growing up in my early teens, like how, and I wanted that stuff too. Anyway, that show was fucking nuts. That was crazy. The Swan.
Jesus, the Swan.
I kind of want to rewatch those shows because I just want to, like thinking about it, I realize how crazy it is, but I can't imagine actually watching it again, how crazy that would be.
My favorite show though, which is 100% scripted, was Next.
I don't remember.
Did you ever watch MTV's Next? They brought like a bus in.
I do remember this.
A girl or a guy, and they'd be sitting in like a park.
Right.
And then they like have three guys be like, "My name's Justin. I surf. I fucking love Cheetos, and I fuck like a horse." And then they're and then the girl's like, "Next." Like,
it was so funny. I kind of vaguely remember this.
Oh, it was great. That's I love
so
that
funny.
Show.
We should try and find. We should dig up some of those episodes. Anyways, all right. So back at it.
Yeah, you have a date with Kev Pont. You guys go on a date to a restaurant, and it's right on the water. I love it every time.
Right. I remember this. And we walked. Through Havana.
Oh, you walked through Havana. Yes, you guys are having this nice little date. It's like starting to turn sunset. You arrive at the restaurant. Whole restaurant's fucking empty, as they always are. And there's a whole band playing. The lady's really theatrical and getting into it. And you guys are enjoying it. And I'd have to say, there's nothing really of note in this date. It's just straightforward. You and Kev Pot just enjoying, enjoying each other's. Company, and then you give him.
If you have to burp,
I don't have to burp.
Why are you doing that?
I don't know what's going on, but there's like air moving all around my body right now.
Okay. What does that mean? In your body or around your body? Is there a fan
it's
on?
It's every part of it. It's my arms, it's my head, it's my throat.
I'm super confused.
I feel like a Pellegrino.
But Cole is doing this weird face and like. Doing this like he's about to burp, and I was just like, get it over.
I'm not gonna do it
anyway.
You and Kevin are having this fantastic little date, enjoying one another's company. You give him the same exact card you gave Mikkel. Again, this is my issue with the card and the key. Is it's the same for every guy, so there's no personalization to any of this. You probably learned way more about Kevin in the however months after this than you did during the time at all. Like, I'd say you learned probably 5% of actually who he was during the...
I would say, for sure.
And that's fucking weird. Yeah, that like, is weird. Why would you marry someone if you know 5%
of them?
We didn't
get married.
The show is... I know, but you're engaged. But that's what they're stepping into.
I understand.
Like, that's what's the other thing. Is it's like, you guys are getting engaged. It's kind of like soft. Like, get married or don't get married. Like, the whole engaged thing just gives you an out opportunity. It's very odd.
Again, it's like it's one of the, it's just a tradition of the show. So I mean, Kevin and I, we had talked about it before, I think in Morocco, like if we were gonna end up together, would we like, would you want to get it actually like go through that whole thing? And I was like, yeah, I would. But like, both of us were of the understanding that we were just gonna get engaged to begin dating, you know. I think we were logical enough to understand that we still had a lot to learn.
That makes sense.
Anyways, so yeah, the date with Kevin was good. I do remember it being really fun. It was so hot out. Holy shit, it was hot. It was hot. We sweated our faces off. And then again, I think that was maybe the day that we had the French fries, cold French fries and burgers or whatever, super late at night when we finally got to our fantasy suite, which was just a hotel room that was different from the set of the fantasy suite. And we didn't have a ton of time together. We started talking, and I believe, well, we got in a fight, and this was something that was kind of blown up, as you probably recall in the episode. It talks about how we had a fight, right? Does that get brought up?
Nope.
No? Oh, okay, sorry, that's the next
episode. It might talk about it in the finale, which I
haven't seen
yet.
It does. It mentions it very briefly, that we had a fight in the fantasy suite and that Kevin walked out. And that was kind of taken out of context a little bit, because it did happen where we fought. And I believe it was just about me telling him that I wasn't 100% sure about how this was going to end. I felt like he always really wanted me to say with certainty that I was going to end up with him. He didn't like not knowing. It's a weird, vulnerable place to put yourself in. And I told him that I didn't know, and I think that's what we ended up fighting about. And it was kind of probably another similar fight. I wish I could remember more. I mean, not that it's anyone's business really, but it wasn't anything super intense. It was mostly just similar to that time in Morocco when we got that fight, where I was kind of like, you're not the only person here. And it's really difficult to explain that to someone and have them understand, because he feels in the moments that we're together like we're the only people in this. It felt like a real relationship. So for me to say I'm not sure was probably really challenging to hear and hard to understand. And I don't know, he just handles it with frustration and then wanted to just kind of escape. And so he did start walking out, and I believe he might have left the door, but he came back. Like, it wasn't like he walked out of the fantasy suite and that was it. It was like we got in a fight and he went to leave. Like, it was really dramatic. Honestly, it was pretty fucking toxic, I'm not gonna lie. And I'm not saying that I was innocent in any of it. I think that the two of us together, it was super tumultuous. It was not good. You know, that doesn't mean that all of it wasn't good. It's just we did not communicate well or handle stress very well together. I mean, and I think both of us
goes both ways, right?
Yeah. And like, I think
you
both
guys are
of us
passionate with
I think both of us have the tendency to be a little hot-headed, and so there was not one person like balancing it out. Like with Eric, for example, he's my perfect match because I've so calmed down since being with Eric, and even just like throughout the years, like in a situation where I might get like a little, I don't know, we never fight, but if we ever have like any kind of argument, he's just like, how can we fix this? What can we do to resolve this? Like, he will have that conversation with me, and I'm like, oh my god, what? Like, who are you, Dream Man?
He's a fucking man. That's so, like, how you're supposed to put.
I know, and I have too much pride sometimes to actually say those words, so, you know? But he has none of it. So I think with Kevin and I, it was both of us a little bit a matter of pride, stubbornness. And so, yeah, after our date, our nice date in Havana, we went to the fantasy suite, and we ended up having this big fight, and it was not a great night. We resolved it, and then I guess I tell the audience about that in the next episode. But I don't really get into detail about it, and I don't really clarify that we resolved it or that he came back. He didn't leave the fantasy suite for the whole night. So yeah.
Well, that provides some much needed clarity on all of that. Don't make a comment about me speaking quietly again.
You are from that stupid app that makes you fall asleep. What's it called? Calm.
Calm.
That's what you sound like.
They reached out to me, actually.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Okay, so we're going to move on to the parents meet, the whole fam bam, your sister, your mom, and Laura Lee, which is honestly, they're like the dynamic trio of
my
people.
Girls.
Those are the girls. You picked them perfectly. I mean, obviously, they all know you very well, but they know you in different capacities,
yeah,
so that it's not like three brothers.
Yeah.
So they're all in different levels. Anyway, Mikkel's up first. And he's super excited about the entire thing. He comes into it with a ton of energy. He's just excited to be there. He's excited about the relationship, all these different things. They take him in. He kind of, you have a little meet and greet that lasts like, you know, seemingly like a couple minutes, 10 minutes or whatever. And then they take him aside, and Laura Lee and your sister start hammering him with questions. Mm-hmm. And they're asking him like, have you ever cheated on anyone? Have you ever been in a relationship that cheated? And he's like, no, no. And then she asks a question I've never heard anyone ask ever.
Who asked?
Laura Lee.
Oh.
She asked, have you been in a relationship and flirted with someone else whilst in that relationship? And he was like, yeah.
Oh. That's like, weird.
I would
I
say
she asked that.
90% of people do that.
Yeah.
In my opinion, flirting is harmless to a point.
It depends what the
there's
intention
like,
is.
I'm a flirtatious guy.
It depends on the level of flirting.
Exactly. Yeah.
I feel like I can of, have a I have a pretty flirty personality in general with like everybody. Mm-hmm. So, but I would never be like flirty with the intention of coming across as interested in someone else.
Yeah, absolutely. So he answers that and he's like, yes. And she's like, no, no, no.
Oh my God.
This is the greatest. It was fantastic. And they're just drilling him with a bunch of questions. And honestly, he cruises through it with flying colors. And they end up really liking him and having a good conversation. They kind of report back to you that they really like him. And he asks, I don't know if this is a standard, but he asks permission to ask for your hand in marriage.
That is kind of a standard in the Bachelor world. And I would kind of like it if the person that I'm going to be with, aka Eric, would, you know, talk to my mom before. It's not like asking for permission, but I kind of like the idea of him talking to her about it, or her knowing that he's going to do it, you know?
The parents should know.
I
if
like
they're
that.
In the person's life, it makes sense.
Yeah. But I think that's a cute thing. I don't know. Especially because it's like, I don't have a dad, so I don't get to have those same sort of old-fashioned
the dad talk.
Things. Where yeah. So it's like my mom is both parents. She'll
definitely.
Be the one walking me down the aisle.
Yeah. But, yeah, so he gets permission from Laura Lee and your sister. And what's your sister's name again?
Jade.
Jade. Yeah, she's a gem. She totally looks like your sister.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Is she younger?
No, she's older than me. She's 2 years she's older. She's older. Oh, I know, okay. she looks younger than me.
She looks younger, yeah. I know, she so they give them permission, and then he talks with your mom. They have a really good conversation about how he feels about you. And asks her permission. She also says yes. And then they kind of talk to you and say, man, I don't know who this next guy is, but he's got some high expectations from Mikkel.
Yeah.
So Kevin's coming in. It would have been way better if Kevin started first.
I feel like they both left a pretty good impression. But I mean, I'll save the opinion. Oh, man, I have so much to share for the next episode. And I'm going to try and refrain from spilling it all right now.
Kevin comes in. And the first thing your sister says is, Kevin looks and seems like the same kind of guys that Jasmine has brought back.
Yeah, I feel like they,
over and over again.
That's so weird because over and over again, like, they hadn't really met a lot of guys. I know that they said that a lot in the interviews. And I was like, dude, what? Like, I'm trying to think of who. Like, tattoos a bit and dark hair? Like, that's so not true. I just don't think that that is accurate. But I know they said that.
Anyway, so they kind of set that precedent. And I'm going, oof, that's rough for Kevin. Like, he's already kind of below zero on the scale with that being said. And so I'm like, oof, he better really step it up.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, Kevin is not a good talker at all. Everyone's like, oh, he's very smooth. And I'm like, he isn't at all. I'm sorry. He's not a smooth talker. He says the wrong thing a lot. A lot. Like, he brought up the 50 first dates again. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why would you say that to someone that 20 minutes from now you're going to ask for their daughter's hand in marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the hell are you, why would you say that? Like, oh, I'd live this single life and I'm just tired of it. And they're all just looking around like, what the fuck? Like, I think Kevin means well, and I don't think he meant to come across that way. He just doesn't have a filter sometimes, and he just says exactly what's on his mind.
I guess at least he's being honest, but yeah, I understand. Yeah. Like, there's the thing called tact. Yeah.
So anyway, they don't really like him very much to start with, and I would say he gets away with maybe like a C+, B- from the questioning from everyone. They kind of drill him with the same questions, and they don't really dive into him or, you know, penetrate into his skin too much, like his mom did to you, because, you know, your family's very nice. So he kind of passes, but it seems, at least how it's edited, that they favor Mikkel over Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, honestly, it's up in the air because it's Jasmine's choice in the end. And they kind of explain that to you. We're like, we like one for these qualities better. You seem to be a little bit more connected to Kevin.
Yeah.
So it could go either way. And you're like, fuck, well, that didn't help.
They really didn't help me at all. They did not help me at all. And I was like, fuck me. Because I was really, like, as much as people assume that you know from the beginning or you're very certain, I was very certain about Kevin. I like I said in the last episode, he was the one that I was most, like, infatuated with. And I was always so excited to see him and all that stuff. But I started developing a relationship later in the game with Mikkel. Like, around this time, things started really accelerating for me with him. Like, just my feelings started developing really strongly for him. And so I was super confused and I didn't know what to do. And I think deep down, I felt like probably I should be with someone more like Mikkel, but I was so drawn to Kevin. And it's not that either of them were wrong. It's just, I think there's a personality that's maybe better for me for a relationship. I don't know if either of them would have been right for me. And I definitely know that neither of them were right for me now because I've met Eric, who is, like, very different from both of them and is my perfect person. So I know that neither of them were right for me, but even at the time it was hard for me to tell. And yeah, my sister and my mom and Laura Lee gave me no direct answers, but I will share a little piece of that in our next episode.
Ooh.
Which honestly kind of pisses me off a lot. And I've never actually talked about it, but we'll get into that next time.
You'll hear first, folks.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, in the end, it was a good visit with my mom and my sister and Laura Lee. And Laura Lee, being the hard ass that she was, really stepped it up for me and helped me out. But yeah, I felt like I didn't really leave with any final answers. And then next episode, we get into the heavy shit. And it's hard. It's really hard. It's going to be a difficult one to talk about, but I think that it's I have a lot to share, so I'm glad that we're doing it in a separate episode rather than lumping the two together, just because there's so much that I feel like I can talk about. But yeah, so it was a good one.
Yeah, good little talk.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you guys so much for being here once again. You know the drill. Subscribe. Leave a review. Love us. And, you know, follow us on Instagram if you want. We're pretty bad at posting there, but we'll start. And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye, guys.
Ta-ta.